The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon. Touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate. Your cornballs get stonewalled.
Welcome into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Aaron Murray. And Aaron, it's season 5 of Punt and Pass. That is absolutely crazy. We have a gigantic show today to kick off what is going to be the best season yet. First things first, this episode and the entire season, our late week episodes, are presented by our great friends over at Prize Picks. You know we love Prize Picks. If you haven't signed up for Prize Picks yet, you got to do so. Use the promo code PUNT. That's P-U-N-T. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match on your first deposit, up to $100. And if you haven't played Prize Picks yet, and even if you have played Prize Picks in the past, this season is so much better. They have actual props, Aaron, on what you can place per player. So this weekend, week 0, Adrian Martinez, Nebraska's quarterback, over or under 60.5 rushing yards. Over or under 185.5 passing yards. What about passing touchdowns? Yeah, you can get down on that action too. So it's so much more experiential. Georgia versus Clemson next weekend. If you think you're a coach, which I know a lot of our audience believes they should be, then you can certainly cash in on Prize Picks. It is a lot of fun. NFL, college football, golf, the limits, there are none. Head on over to prizepicks.com. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. And later on in the show, Aaron and I are going to give you some winners for week 0. Aaron, before we make our big announcement, how are you, dude? Let's get a little life update going on. It's August 26th. Week 0 is here. College football is here. Thank God.
Thank goodness college football is back, man. I'm on the road this week. I was up in New York last weekend, had some studio shows. And then this weekend, I have Southern Utah at San Jose State.
So you're heading out west.
Heading out. You know I'm always out west.
Yes, you are.
Out west. I do have, for those Georgia fans listening, the Georgia at Auburn game this year, though.
Do you
on
really?
CBS, yeah.
Good for you. I did not know that.
Get to go there, and first time covering the Dogs, so I got to make sure I get my mind right and not too much of a homer boy there.
Yeah.
But just excited for the season. I'm excited for fans in the stands.
I know.
Like, last night, we spoke with San Jose State, who won the Mountain West last year, and Coach Brennan, his first thing was like, man, we had such a great season last year.
Yeah, they did.
But after every single game, these kids couldn't go hug their mom.
It's
they couldn't
crazy.
Hug their dad. They couldn't hug their girlfriend, whatever. It was weird. It was weird not being able to celebrate with your family and friends. And this year, the fact that these kids get to celebrate, enjoy themselves, fans in the stands. I mean, there is such an excitement and energy level from the players, from people who missed out on college football. Like, I think this is going to be a year people remember because of what we lost last year. So I'm pumped because I know playing in front of no fans sucked. Calling games, from my perspective, in front of no fans was awful. I mean, it's hard to have energy when there's no one there.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to call a game and it's just, you can hit a freaking pin drop in the stadium. So it's going to be a fun season, man. I'm excited to get back on the road this weekend.
No doubt. I have yet to do my Mountain West diligence, but is that Nick Starkel still at
Nick
San Jose
Starkel
State?
Is back.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
He's a really good quarterback. That should be a good game. And they did have a good season last year, San Jose State. So I'm sure they've got high hopes for 2021.
They got crushed with COVID protocol for the bowl game, or they would have most likely been undefeated last year. So Yeah, going to be a fun year.
Can't wait, man. And people probably are thinking, why do we sound so official right now? And we'll look official when you see us on YouTube later on. But we have signed a partnership. It's our first partnership, really, of sorts from a distribution slash production standpoint. Right now, we are inside 680 The Fan's studios in Atlanta, Georgia, at The Battery, right outside Truist Park. We are going to be hosted on the podcast park. 680 The Fan is going to help us out throughout the season. My man Dan Matthews is back in the booth right now taking care of us. We are official. This is going to be so much fun. What better place to be for the Punt and Pass podcast than the college football voice of the South? Of course, 680 will be syndicated on the Southern Sports Today Network all across the Southeast, which I think is important to note because, Aaron, I'm not going to boost this up too much, but we've had opportunities in the past. People have talked to us about our plans for the future of Punt and Pass, and this has been a passion project for you and I. We've done this for 5 years, and I've always said to myself, hey, you know what? Let's control the content. Let's do what we do best. Let's keep this as focused on our audience as possible. And when 680 came into the fold, I just thought it made a lot of sense. I thought that a lot of our listeners listen to 680. A lot of our listeners appreciate the college football voice of the South. So why not team up with them? Everything else will be the same. Aaron and I will bring you two episodes throughout each week this college football season to let you know what is going on around the SEC, what is going on in the biggest games of the weekend. Of course, we're going to keep you in tune with Georgia football as the Dogs are really set up for a special 2021. And if you remember, Aaron, when we first started this, that was back in the year 2017. Georgia, of course, started out very hot, number one team in the nation. Yeah, they lost to Auburn, but they avenged that loss in the SEC championship, won the Rose Bowl, lost on the last second play in the national championship. We will not go there, but so much to talk about. We're really fired up about this partnership with 680 The Fan to be hosted on the podcast park. You'll hear us on the station throughout the fall. And of course, you can always head over to the podcast park. And wherever you've listened to Punt and Pass in the past, that will not change. Let's dive right into it, man. So much to discuss. This is a little season preview right here. Of course, we got a couple of games this weekend. Next weekend is, of course, the main buffet of college football 2021. But a lot of fans were reaching out to us on social media, wanting our thoughts on the Alliance, wanting our thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. Name, image, and likeness dropped. Of course, I'm right in the middle of that, so we can discuss as needed. But Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC. This, of course, broke during SEC Media Days. You were there in Birmingham doing all your interviews there with SiriusXM SEC Radio. First thoughts, was this expected? Look, I'll tell you right now, this had been happening for a very, very long time. There are no coincidences. And when you're telling me that this news broke while Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M were in their press conference at SEC Media Days, that is uncanny. I think the cat got out of the bag a little bit quickly. I think Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, backpedaled just a bit because he was not expecting that news to become public when it did. Overall, though, I think this was expected. And I'll tell you one thing right now. The SEC is not done. There will be two more teams that join this conference before 2023, 2025, whenever it is.
I'm with you, man. And it was, you said it was a bomb dropped on SEC Media Days when we were there. I mean, it was... First off, this offseason's been incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about, first, last year was just, it was tough for everyone. The COVID season, the rescheduling of games, I said earlier, no fans in the stands for majority of the season or limited capacity. You felt like, okay, we just need to get through this season. Everyone needs to take a vacation, take a breather, relax, and just get ready for 2021. And it was like, no, screw that. Let's have a crazy offseason with a bunch of just gigantic headlines. I mean, you said NIL, this merging of conferences in Texas and Oklahoma. It's just been a whirlwind. But when it comes to this news of the SEC expanding, I'm with you, man. It's evolve or die.
Yeah.
That's all
100%.
It is. It's
100%.
Evolve or die. And obviously right now with the SEC, it pains me, but CBS will be losing the SEC here in a couple years. It'll be interesting to see if they actually start paying for these games ahead of time before waiting for that contract to end here, I think, in 2024. But they're going to make a huge splash. You know, they're going to build this thing to where they already are the dominant conference. Let's not get it wrong. I mean, football, Baseball, we had Vanderbilt, Mississippi State.
Yep.
Basketball this year was phenomenal. Here comes SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, look how many guys got drafted in the SEC first round. We had more players drafted from the SEC than any other conference. I mean, they are – Sankey is building a warship on every single sport, and he's bringing the best teams over. So I'm with you. I don't think it ends at Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, those are two of the biggest brands in college football.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Texas hasn't been relevant since, what was it, 08, 09, when they lost Alabama in
their last shred of relevance was when they beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and Sam Ellinger said, we're back.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, like, but yes, really, really consistently back. It's been since Colt McCoy was the quarterback. But still, Texas is one of those brands that just goes with college football.
100%. So
I love it. I absolutely do. Like I said, it's get bigger or die. And Sankey realizes that. And, you know, when we talk about this whole alliance thing, to me, I understand these other conferences are looking, they're scared, they're worried. They're seeing obviously the money that the SEC is going to be making with these TV contracts. They're seeing the money they're going to be making if and when the playoff expansion happens.
Yeah.
And they don't want to get left behind. I just think it was premature with what they came out with the other day.
Yeah.
It's like, what was the point of that? Oh, we're coming. Until you have some solidified plans and things written down and contracts signed, it was rushed, in my opinion. I don't understand why they felt like they needed to come out after only a month of talking with each other to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. It's something that needs to be done after 6, 7, 8 months of discussion, and something, like I said, written down on paper.
No, there's no question. And this kind of, my last thought on Texas and Oklahoma leads into the alliance. But if you don't think that the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or the ACC would have bent over backwards if Texas and Oklahoma called them and said, hey, we're interested in joining your conference, then you're out of your damn mind. Because simply put, Texas and Oklahoma are those two endemic brands in the middle of the country, even kind of stretching out west and up towards the Midwest, to where they kind of took a look at the landscape and said, where do we go for the next 10 to 15 years, right? How can we create what our fans want, what our alumni want, what our boosters want, and that is relevance. They said, let's call the SEC and see if they're interested. Then Greg Sankey gets the call and says, hell yeah,
yes,
you guys come right on in. He sees dollars and cents. He sees a super conference. And like you just said, he is building a legitimate leader in each and every sport, which leads into the alliance. Now, what is the alliance? You just said it a couple days ago. Three conference commissioners from the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the SEC have a handshake agreement. What does that agreement mean? People think it's about putting priority on future cross-conference scheduling. Some people think, hey, these are conferences that are banding together and saying none of our teams are going to leave for the last two maybe that the SEC are looking for. I don't think that's necessarily the case, because if that were the case, something will be put on paper. Yep. They all said this was a handshake. And let me tell you how the alliance started, okay? The alliance started last August. Last August, when you and I were texting and you're watching SportsCenter, and Kevin Warren from the Big Ten and Larry Scott from the Pac-12 come out and say, we're not playing college football this year.
Yep.
Everybody goes, what? Everybody was Zoom focused on how can we get college football done. Those two conferences threw their hands up in the air early, said we're not playing college football this year because of the pandemic and all the issues that were arising back then. Who was silent? Greg Sankey. Greg Sankey didn't say anything. He said we're taking it day by day.
He's a silent assassin.
He really is.
He is, especially with this Texas-Oklahoma thing. I mean, it's so quiet, and the work he does behind the scenes, he is the best. And to me, I don't know if you've seen things from Kurt Herbstreit or not, but I mean, the movement away from the NCAA and just getting away from it and having one voice to kind of run the show, kind of similar to
what
we see from the end. Yeah, it's Greg Sankey. If there was one to rule them all, it has to be Greg Sankey. What he did last year with the pandemic was incredible.
Yes.
To get through the season.
Incredible.
To show other conferences that, hey, you don't have to just go to the extreme of not playing. There are ways to navigate this entire thing. The ability to have these discussions with Texas and Oklahoma to expand the SEC.
Yeah.
The NCAA, everyone knows it's on its way out.
Oh, my God.
It is on its way out. and if things are going to unfold and change and start to really morph into more of possibly an NFL model, I don't know. If there's one guy to lead them all, it's Greg Sankey. What he has demonstrated this past year compared to some of these other conference leaders, they're just trying to play catch up. They're just trying to find a way to stay in the headlines because they're jealous, I guess, a little bit of what Sankey's doing.
That is 100% what it is. And what Greg Sankey demonstrates is leadership, strength in leadership. A year ago, he was like, why would I have to make this decision now? Let's see what happens. Let me talk to my medical professionals. Let me talk to the school athletic directors, the school presidents, so we can make a collective decision to sit there and look at everything on the whole, not 5 weeks before the season starts, throw it up in the air and go, you know what, we're not playing. Mm-hmm. And here's what happened. Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner at the time, they canceled because they thought they could strong-arm everybody else into canceling as well. Big Ten parents then started revolting. The players started speaking out on it. Of course, they ended up playing. Of course, they only played seven games last year. But what Greg Sankey did last year is said, I am a leader, right? And when you heard his opening statements at SEC Media Days this year, that was leadership. Yep. He talked about the Austin case. He talked about name, image, and likeness. He talked about, you know, the uncertainties around college sports as it stands right now. He didn't trot around those issues. He issued it head on, said, we're in a great place. 2 days later, Texas and Oklahoma are in the fold. I saw Herb Street's comments yesterday. Was it on Feinbaum? Or no, it was Zach Klein, ZK. I saw that. Zach Klein from WSB here in town. And Herb Street said, you know, these are conference commissioners who are worried and they're insecure about the future. And my thought was this. They should be worried and insecure about how their teams play on the football field because that's why this is happening. A lot to unpack there. I think this will continue to kind of matriculate throughout the season. Most importantly, they're just trying to catch up with the SEC. And the SEC, I mean, we've got NIL written down here on the rundown. It's interesting. It's fun. I've had a lot of great conversations over at Icon Source where we're helping student-athletes get paid the right way, brands connecting with athletes. And there is a lot of demand. We have a lot of exciting announcements on the way here in the next couple of weeks from an Icon Source perspective. But I think for student athletes as a whole, you're starting to see this thing really spread out. It's not just quarterbacks and point guards and players of the year, female student athletes, non-revenue student athletes. The opportunity is there for everyone. And as student athletes get more comfortable with it, universities get more comfortable with it. Most importantly, the brands who want to spend money get more comfortable with it. This is only going to continue to grow. And I don't see how anybody could look at it and say this has been a bad thing for the first 50 days.
No, I think it's been pretty smooth. And it's funny. I was watching the other night CBS Sports Network and watching some of the shows heading into the season. And my first time seeing DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah, good job. Nice read
for
on the
Dr.
name there.
Pepper.
Yeah.
I was like, holy smokes. Yeah. I know he signed a deal, but that was the first time I actually seeing it. So it puts a smile on my face. I mean, it's happening. People are embracing it. I think it's gone smoothly. You know, the big issue everyone just kept asking me at first was, oh, this is going to cause such a division in the locker room. I'm like, no, it's not. People want to make this such a big deal of everyone's going to be pissed off because the quarterback's making money and not everyone else is. I was like, people look at the NFL and the NFL model, and they see who the guy's making money, who's on all the commercials, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Those guys are the one, of course, are going to be making the most money.
Of course.
Kids aren't going to be mad because JT Daniels is making money. Obviously, he's doing a smart job, and he's going to be giving some of his money to his teammates, which is absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But there's not going to be resentment in the locker room. So I think, to me, that was overblown, but I love it. And speaking of JT, it's so funny. I know I've told you this. You know, we had a couple golf charity golf tournaments over the summer. We were at Pollock's tournament, and I met JT. We were talking. I was like, you play golf? And looking at his tire, I kind of knew the answer. I knew the answer.
What he was dressed in?
Yeah, I knew the answer ahead of time. And he's like, no, I've never really played before. I was like, first, we got to teach you how to dress on the golf course.
So, he's from Cali, man. Yeah. Give him a break.
Yeah, but they play golf in Cali. Some of the best golf in the country is in Cali. So I was like, well, if you ever want to play, hit me up, and I'll get you connected to get some lessons with Coach Hack there at UGA.
The man.
So 2 weeks later, he comes up to me. We're at another charity golf tournament, and he's like, hey, man, I really need to get Hack's number because I need some lessons. I was like, all right, sweet. Send him a number. He's like, yeah. Titleist hit me up, wanted to do a sponsorship to give me free clubs and some money. I was like, this kid doesn't even play golf. I need new clubs. I need a new fitting. I'm playing with Drew Butler's old clubs over here.
You are.
I mean, I'm a little jealous, but it's awesome to see these guys have the opportunity. And more you talk to players, and I had opportunity to talk to a lot of the guys at SEC Media Days, a lot of guys I've talked to through my show with SiriusXM, they all say the same thing. And who knows if they're actually doing what they're preaching, but they're like, listen, football is first.
Yeah.
We're focused on football. If we have the opportunity to do something during our off time, then we can do it. And a lot of this stuff nowadays, too, it's so easy because all it is social media.
Yeah, a lot of it's quick social media activations. Yeah,
it's not like all these are, you're having to go do these appearances. Hey, we'll sign you to 4 or 5 social media posts.
Yep.
And we'll give you X amount of dollars. So for the players, it's actually pretty easy to do and navigate. And it's not taking up a lot of their time, especially in season. So I don't think it's going to be a huge distraction. I'm happy these kids are getting paid for. No, there is not going to be this rift in the locker room that everyone was hoping there'd be all this drama. That's not going to happen. These kids are too smart. They're too focused on football to let some of this to get in the way and be a distraction.
Yeah, so much of the talk prior to July 1st when this all went live were hypotheticals, right? Oh, this is going to tear apart the locker room. Oh, kids aren't going to be focused on school and athletics. Well, I mean, if you aren't good at school and athletics, then you won't have the opportunity to make NIL dollars. And whenever I ask student athletes, hey, is this going to cause a rift in the locker room? Unanimously, no. Like, absolutely not. No. They will figure it out. It's been great so far. Again, this is only going to continue to get bigger. It's a lot of fun to be involved in over at Icon Source. And if you're a business owner, or if you work at a business and you have some marketing dollars and you're looking to activate a student athlete, head on over to Icon Source, of course, iconsource.com, and it's all free. So that is the way to do it. Let's start diving into what we think is going to happen this weekend, looking towards next weekend. A lot to unpack here as the college football season gets underway. But first things first, of course, this episode is presented by PrizePicks, prizepicks.com. Download the PrizePicks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match on your first deposit, up to $100. And this season, the action on PrizePicks is so much more intuitive for a college football or a pro football fan because you can place wagers on props. It's amazing. I'm looking at the board right now, Aaron. Nebraska plays Illinois this week. Illinois, new head coach in Brett Bielema. Mm-hmm. If you remember Brett Bielema from his Wisconsin days, what is he known for? Humongous offensive line, heavy run game, trust the defense, ground and pound. Chase Brown, Illinois running back, over under a half a rushing touchdown. I would think that Illinois running back with Brett Bielema, a head coach, is going to get one touchdown, correct?
I'm with you.
Okay,
100%.
So you got to go over.
First game of the season, run the football, dominate the line of scrimmage.
No question. Yes. No question. Over half a rushing touchdown for Chase Brown, who's Illinois' running back. And then I think I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do here? I am looking at Adrian Martinez, the quarterback who's been at Nebraska for 17 straight years. His rushing yard total, Aaron, 60.5 rushing yards. This is what I think is going to happen in this game. I really like Illinois at home. They're about a 7-point dog right now. I think that might even get up to 7.5. I am hearing that they're becoming a bit trendy when it comes to lines makers saying Illinois is in a good position here. Late in the game, if Illinois is up, I see Adrian Martinez scrambling around a little bit. I see Adrian Martinez getting out of the pocket, maybe a couple chunk plays. I'm going to go over 60.5 rushing yards for Adrian Martinez. I want over a half a rushing touchdown for Chase Brown. That is a winner right there on PrizePicks.
Well, I love the first one, you know, especially Illinois returning 4 starters on that offensive line. They're going to be stout up front.
Yeah.
And I agree with Adrian Martinez. I still think he is a run-first quarterback. And we're talking about an Illinois defense that gave up 230 yards rushing per game last year.
Okay, here we go.
So that if that makes you feel even juicier about that call with Adrian Martinez, give me that as well. But I love the home dog. I'm with you on one with Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
see, everybody's on Illinois now. Now I'm having second guesses because it's seeming like a trendy underdog.
Because no one has faith in Adrian Martinez.
True.
What has he done in 2 years with Scott Frost to make you say, like, oh, my God, now all of a sudden this kid's going to take another step forward? You know, don't be tricked by the past. I mean, always everyone's like, okay, third year, it has to click.
Yeah.
It hasn't clicked in 2 years. It's not going to just magically happen.
No, not especially the
kid
the
just
smoke,
doesn't have it.
The smoker on the program right now.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. 185.5 passing yards for Adrian Martinez. That seems a bit high. I'd probably go under that. And then Brandon Peters, Illinois' quarterback, 165.5 passing yards over on Prize Picks. I'd probably go under that as well.
I'd go over that.
You would go over for Brandon Peters?
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. Aaron Murray tells you. Over Brandon Peters, 165.5 passing yards. What a great way to get active during college football season. PrizePicks.com. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. We will post those picks on our social media, that, of course, being at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
All right, let's look towards next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Georgia-Clemson kicking off top five matchup in Charlotte. That's the Saturday night ABC game. You have Miami and Alabama right here in Atlanta. I believe that's 1-10.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alabama is going to beat the absolute breaks off Miami. We'll talk about that. But before we get into it, I want your high-level thoughts because we're going to dive into it much deeper next week on Georgia right now. Injuries throughout camp, a lot of uncertainty around some of the personnel there, even some coaches having to step away from the program. You know, there's so much reason for optimism heading into the 2021 season. JT Daniels is back, an embarrassment of riches at the running back position, a schedule that is absolute cakewalk outside of this Clemson game. In a typical Georgia fashion, we've been given a lot of reasons to become pessimistic over the past 4 weeks. It is a big-time test next week against Clemson. Any reason to worry with these injuries? Is Georgia going to be ready?
Oh, of course. To me, you said it. The schedule is a cakewalk when you look at what's after Clemson. The only thing that can get in Georgia's way this year when it comes to getting to Atlanta is injury. Is themselves. Can they just stay healthy? Can they stay focused? But I am worried. And the same reason why I was worried last season for this offense is the receiving position.
Yeah, there's just not depth.
There's no depth.
Yeah.
I think JT obviously is a huge upgrade, and I've said it this entire offseason. I love what he did last year, but let's see who he played last year when he took over Mississippi State.
Skeleton crew. Almost had to cancel the game.
South Carolina.
I think Georgia begged South Carolina not to cancel the game because they didn't have bodies.
Neither of those teams had bodies, and Missouri was one of the worst defenses in the SEC. So he didn't play a juggernaut at all, besides Cincinnati, and that was not a great game. They probably should have lost that game to Cincinnati Luke Fickell had some better game management there at the end of the game. So I do think he's an improvement. I love the kid when it comes to his ability to give these receivers an opportunity to make plays. But who are his receivers going to be? Jackson's been in and out through camp.
Yeah. Kyrus, yeah. Yep.
Burns been out through camp.
Yep.
Eric Gilbert, out.
Not even with the team right now.
Washington, out. His top playmakers aren't there, and two of them will not be there for the first game, most likely.
Yeah.
Washington's not going to be out or not going to be there.
Doesn't seem like Gilbert's going to be there.
Doesn't seem like Gilbert's going to be there. So
And you didn't even mention George Pickens torn ACL during spring game. He's out for the season.
I am worried about Georgia's ability to create explosive plays. Do they have the running backs? Yes. Do they have a quarterback? Yes. Do they have an offensive line that's going to be doable and manageable and be able to do their thing? Yes. This Clemson team is phenomenal on defense. And don't get it twisted. I know they did not look well in that last game versus Ohio State. 9 starters back. They're deep at every position. DJ Uiagalelei, I'm going to keep saying it because I'm getting better and better every time I say it. It's just rolling off the tongue now. I feel very confident. The offense will be fine. I'm worried about our skill guys. And everyone was bitching at me last year. Oh, it's not the receivers. It's the quarterback.
Yeah,
it's the quarterback.
A lot of heat for that.
And I was getting even these guys that are healthy right now, if they're healthy, they're not someone that I can feel like can take a bubble screen or a slant and take it for 70.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Alabama, you look at LSU 2 years ago, we don't have those guys. We have good receivers, don't get me wrong. They're not the type of guys that can change a ball game in one play.
Yep. What are your thoughts about Dominic Blaylock?
I like them all. Mitchell, I like Adonai Mitchell. I screwed up the first name there. I like Mitchell. I like the receiving corps when they're healthy.
Yeah.
But there's not the guy that can just flip a defense and scare a defense saying, hey, we got to double him.
Yep. No, I mean,
there's no one other that warrants a double team.
I agree with you. If you would have had this conversation in March when spring practice was starting, we would sit here and say, oh, man, we're going to see Todd Monken open this thing up 5 wide. JT's going to sling it around. Offensive line looks good. Eric Gilbert going to be here. Darnell Washington, George Pickens, Dom Blaylock, Jermaine Burton. You're sitting there going, oh, this is going to be different. We are going to look like one of the newer teams, the LSU, the Alabama, that had just opened it, blown it up wide open, and get ready to roll Ole Miss. But as we're standing here today, August 26th, I've got some maybe not surprising news for Georgia fans. Maybe it's something they don't want to hear. Expect a lot more of the same next weekend. Mm-hmm. They are going to have to run the ball. They're going to have to control the clock, and they're going to have to rely on the defense to make a play. Just think about this. You play to your strengths. I always have said this throughout 5 years of punt and pass. The best coaches, whether they're high school, college, or NFL coaches, they adjust their game plans to the players that they have available. They do not make the players adjust to the coach's game plan. What do they have available next week? They have an absolute stable at running back, right? Zeus White, James Cook, Kendall Milton, Kenny McIntosh. If the offensive line is healthy enough, and if they have good enough stamina to literally try to run the ball down Clemson's throat for 4 straight quarters, that's what they have to do.
Ball.
They have to do that. Now, can you split out James Cook? Can you split out Kenny McIntosh? Yes, you can. Bubble screens. Try to create some mismatches at the second level. Help Georgia get those splash plays, but putting JT in the shotgun and then letting him try to sling it around, throw the ball 40 times, that's a losing game plan. Yep. I'm just telling you right now. We'll dive into it a lot more next week. I like Georgia as an underdog. I think their defense is really good. The one thing that worries me is this. Simply put, Clemson is more experienced in a big-time spot like this. Yeah. Simple as that. Clemson is more experienced in a top-5 matchup Saturday night ABC game to start the season than Georgia is. That's just a fact. Now, am I saying that's a complete Georgia's going to lose? No, not at all. I think it's going to be a great game. Just expect a lot of running. I saw one thing today, too. There's like a tropical storm, Dan, in the Gulf, and it could be an absolute washout next Saturday if it turns up and hits Charlotte on Saturday.
Oh, please,
I hope that doesn't happen.
Because this could be the best game of the season.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about two teams.
Two versus five, whatever it is.
Yeah, they have a legitimate chance of making the playoffs, both these teams heading into the season. I'm with you, though. You play to your strengths. If your strengths is still the receiver, I know the fans, and I want it too. Listen, I want things to open up for Georgia's offense, but you just can't do it. It's going to be idiotic
if
you try to do something where you don't have the players to be able to execute. They got a great defense. They got a run game. You have a quarterback that can manage the game well in JT Daniels. That's all you need to do week one. And plus, you know, we said it, you don't have to win this game to make it to the playoffs.
No, and you don't want
get blown out.
Yeah, you don't want that mindset, and I can assure you that Kirby will not let them have that mindset heading into that game. But to your point, hey, this is the first game of the season. Guess what? The first half is going to be some ugly-ass football.
Yeah.
I mean, turnovers, fumbles, the ball is going to be on the ground, incompletions, some missed blocks at the first.
Defenses will be better this year, too.
I agree with that.
I think fans last year who love points and love the deep ball are so enamored with, okay, 35 to 50 points per game, you know, say the Alabama, whatever. That is not going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all mistaken, a lot of us in the media world and former players, thinking that offenses were going to struggle early on and throughout the season because of the lack of chemistry and the lack of time to do stuff in spring, summer, and fall camp. And it was the defense. And you talk to coaches across the country, and the issue was, hey, these offenses can go out there and run routes on air. They can run plays. It's hard for a defense to get lined up and go against offenses and to practice tackling when you're not allowed to.
100%.
Defenses are going to be much improved this year. So this whole thing of watching games that are 50 to 45 or whatever it is, that's not going to happen. I think we're going to get knocked down to more of the old school SEC when it comes to games. Not maybe the 17 to 12 or 17 to 13, but games that are going to be in the 20s.
Yeah.
Games are going to be in the low 30s. So,
not 55 to 49.
No, which I hated, honestly, man. Like part of me enjoyed that Alabama Ole Miss game last year, but part of me is like, just someone play defense.
Yeah.
Like, this is gonna be stupid.
That was ridiculous. It's gonna be fun. You know, I was at the Letterman scrimmage a week ago. Aaron, you were at Georgia's scrimmage 2 weeks ago. Kirby did speak to the Letterman before, and he said this, kind of to your point. He's like, guys, look, and this was a lot of Letterman, to over 200 Letterman, who obviously have played from when I was there, when you were there, to the 50s. And he was like, we have had 12 full pads practices. 12, that's it.
Yeah.
It's not like the old days where you had two-a-days and you guys are banging around, you're ready to go. He's like, these guys, like that scrimmage last Saturday was a full go scrimmage. He's like, we need to see who can tackle.
Mm-hmm.
We need to see who can block. You don't have that many opportunities now. It's going to be really live next Saturday. And I wasn't really able to tell much from a football perspective, so to speak. I'm sure you weren't either when you were sitting there watching the game. I mean, these are guys trying to get reps. I can tell you one thing, though. Georgia looks really good from a physicality perspective. I'm like, damn, we did not have dudes like that when I was in school. Adam Anderson really stuck out to me. Jordan Davis is a freaking Mack truck in the middle of the defensive line. Brock Bowers looked good, the true freshman tight end, who I think will get some love next week as well.
Who really stood out to me, DB-wise, Amir Speed.
Yeah, long, lanky.
Ooh,
yeah,
he looked good. He's not listed as a starter, at least looking at this field still right now. But when I was at the scrimmage, I was like, damn, this guy's pretty good. 6'2", 6'3".
Long arms.
And that's what you need, man. These corners nowadays are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's intimidating. I mean, when you look out there as a quarterback and you see a 6'3 DB, you're like, I don't even know if I want to go over there or look up there. I don't know if my guy can get off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, jam him at the line of scrimmage, and then they're so long they can make it up in a couple of strides. And if you underthrow that ball, pick
I
the
like
other
him.
Way.
I love our defense, though.
And I'm so mad Tyke Smith got injured. That was like my one pick. I've been tweeting about it. I said Tyke Smith is going to be the guy where at the end of the season you're going to sit there and go, that was such a key transfer for Georgia to get, because it was, one, leadership, two, experience, but three, the guy's a ball hawk. I am bummed he's not going to be playing next week against Clemson. I thought he was going to be a really added piece. Hopefully he gets back sooner rather than later. All right, what about Alabama? New quarterback and Bryce Young. Let's kind of do like a quick SEC preview. Any surprise teams? Any reason to think Alabama might stumble? I think they had six guys on the All-SEC first-team preseason list on defense specifically.
Ooh.
So again, you could sit here and say, is Alabama going to reload? Well, of course they are. I guarantee you they cover against Miami next weekend inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Ole Miss? Matt Corral, A&M. I'm not sold on Haynes King. Some people are saying Kentucky could be pretty good. I don't know. I mean, call me a simpleton, but I'm seeing Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship.
Alabama's defense is phenomenal. That linebacking core of Will Anderson, Christian Harris.
Yep.
I mean, they are some studs on that side of the football. I mean, this is going to be a special group on that side. That's why I was talking about earlier with offenses. You know, Alabama's not going to be the team that scores 50 points per game. And, I mean, defensively, they got better throughout the season. This is going to be more of a defensive-led football team this year. You know, Bryce Young, based on what I saw, obviously, in high school, the highlights and what I saw watching their spring game, quick release, love his release, has a good arm, he's accurate, he's tiny. I mean, tiny, tiny.
Yeah, that really worries me.
Yeah, but yeah, he's going to have a great offensive line. Brian Robinson at running back, Mechie at receiver. They got talent around him. He's going to be fine. Just don't expect this offense to be what it was last year, but they're not going to have to. I think that's Nick Saban's message to this young quarterback is you don't have to be Mac Jones. You don't have to go out there and throw for 300, 400 yards and four touchdowns every week. Our defense is going to win it for us this year if they do. I am, though. I am a believer in two other teams in the SEC West. I'm a big believer in A&M.
Because even with Haynes King. I'm not sold on him. We'll find out.
But. Well, yeah, but are you sold on Bryce Young?
No. I'm sold on Alabama's defense. I'm sold on their run game.
But look at A&M. A&M is one of the better defenses in the SEC, too. A&M has Isaiah Spiller at running back. They have Anaya Smith. They have Jalen Widermeyer.
Yeah, Widermeyer's a beast.
I mean, if you want to go, you know, position by position with A&M versus Alabama, Jimbo's done such a good job recruiting. They got a ton of talent at A&M. Telling you, defensive-wise, very comparable to what Alabama's going to have this year. Skill-wise on offense, very comparable. Offensive line-wise, I know they lost a lot of guys to the NFL, but you know, talking to my boy Cole Kublik, he feels very confident in this offensive line, one of the better offensive tackles in the country. It's just who's going to play better? Is Haynes King going to play better? Is he going to be the guy, or is Bryce Young going to play better? That, to me, that's going to be the question mark. That's going to separate who is going to win the SEC West, which quarterback can manage the game better at the end of the day. And we're going to find out early. A&M's schedule, though, is a little bit more manageable early on the season. They play Kent State, Colorado, New Mexico, Arkansas, Mississippi State.
Kind of get Haynes King comfortable.
Yeah, they're going to have the opportunity to get him comfortable early on. And don't sleep on LSU.
Okay.
I think Max Johnson
is Max
going
Johnson.
To be one of the best quarterbacks in the conference and going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country here in the next year or two.
All right. Well, I love that. I like that as well because you're not even thinking about LSU with the Ole Miss, Matt Corral talking points, the Texas A&M and all their depth talking points. Of course, Alabama, Auburn breaking in a new coaching staff, Emory Jones taking over at Florida. How's that going to look? Kentucky. I don't know. There's just so many uncertainties in the SEC, and then you see what Georgia's returning. You have the expectations of Alabama, and you think they're on a collision course. You know, would you love to see it?
Georgia has the easier route.
Oh,
you know, if I had to pick who's going to be in Atlanta today, unless Emory is a complete stud, and honestly, I said this yesterday on my show, let's stop putting pressure on Emory.
No, let's put more pressure on Emory.
No, okay, fine. Enough with, is Emory going to be a guy? Let's focus on what the hell is Grantham doing on defense?
Yeah, they got to figure it
out. To me, everyone wants to keep talking about, can Emory take over at quarterback? This was a defense in Florida that was giving up 31 points per game last year. Can Grantham get the defense right? To me, is the bigger concern if I was a Gator fan.
100%, because like you're saying right now, the pressure on Emory is not the expectations of can he be the guy. The pressure would be, can he lead the offense to score 40 points a game?
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know. That just doesn't. Not a lot of quarterbacks can do that week in and week out. So Florida does need to shore up the defensive side of the ball. Remember what they had last year. If they would have taken care of business against LSU, that's a team, Kyle Trask, Kadarius Toney, Kyle Pitts, that really could have made a push for the college football playoff. Yep. That offense was pretty unstoppable. I mean,
the defense was
just crazy.
You know, they got Carter back and they got Cox back. I mean, Ventrell Miller at middle linebacker is a guy that's played a lot of football. Hopefully they're better. And then, you know, skill-wise, offensively, Damian Pierce at running back. They got Copeland. They got Shorter. The tight end Zipper, watching film on Florida, you know, he's not Kyle Pitts, but he's pretty darn good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they got skill there. And like I said, Emory's been a guy, and you can never doubt Dan Mullen. You know, what Dan has done with quarterbacks.
Oh, my God, I can doubt him.
Why?
what big game has he won?
With quarterbacks. I'm not talking about games here. I'm talking about with development of quarterbacks.
100% fact.
This is going to be an offense that looks a little bit more like Mississippi State with Nick Fitzgerald there at quarterback. It's going to be run a little bit more run first, eat up the clock, dominate the line of scrimmage, or at least attempt to dominate the line of scrimmage. This is an offense that needs to get back to learning how to run the football instead of just passing the ball 40, 50 times a game. It's not going to be as easy of a win as Georgia fans are thinking right now.
Yeah.
It never is.
No, never is.
Never is.
Never is.
But Georgia's going to be the favorite. I do think Alabama, this is the only thing that's in Georgia's favor heading into the season. Alabama has to go through such a gauntlet to make it to Atlanta.
Yeah, SEC West is stacked.
I mean, Georgia just has to play Clemson week one and then Florida in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And that's it.
No doubt.
You know, Alabama has to play Miami. They have to play at Florida week three, which is going to be an interesting game.
Yep.
At A&M, they have to play Ole Miss. They have to play Mississippi State. They have to play LSU. and then at Auburn to finish the season. A lot tougher schedule for Alabama to make, or anyone in the SEC West, to feel healthy and just mentally and physically good in that game in Atlanta compared to Georgia. Should be healthy. They should be dominant and really encouraged by the time that game comes around.
All right. I totally agree. It's going to be a fun 2021 season. Let's wrap this thing up. I'm going to throw a couple of teams at you. I just want you to tell me if there'll be factors in November. We'll start with these two. Iowa State, Brock Purdy. I think Bryce Hall is back. You think they could give Oklahoma a run for their money in the Big 12?
Oh, 100%. Okay. I mean, they beat them last year. Yeah. And if it wasn't for a couple late turnovers, it would have won the conference championship as well. I love Oklahoma. Oklahoma is actually my number one team heading into this season.
Oh, wow. So you're in on Spencer Rattler.
I am in on Spencer Rattler. I'm in on their defense. I mean, This is a defense that looked pretty damn good last year. They're returning a lot. This is, to me, is the most complete team heading into the season. Iowa State, though, they got, I don't know, 20 guys back on both sides of the football.
Oh, yeah. And Matt Campbell's a good football coach.
Great coach. That's going to be a great game. So, yes, if there's someone that could knock them off, it's going to be Iowa State. So I am a believer in them, but I do think Oklahoma is the better team in the conference.
One team that I'm watching, and we will find out very early on in the season, Cincinnati. Look, Cincinnati takes on Indiana, who's a top 25 team, and then the week after that takes on Notre Dame. If they can pull off those two wins, their schedule is a high school football schedule. Yep. For the rest of the season, they will be undefeated, which, of course, will be a big-time opportunity for the Bearcats.
Does Florida State beat Notre Dame week one?
No.
I got Florida State.
No. No.
Mackenzie Milton, quarterback?
Know. I'm not
sure.
Notre
Dame lost 9 starters on offense. Ian Book has been such a staple for them.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
I'm with Florida State.
I see LSU at 16. You kind of talked me into Max Johnson there. Texas at 21. Casey Thompson or Hudson Card, who knows? And then Utah, maybe. I don't know. It's going to be a fun 2021 season, and I am so fired up that we're back in the fold here at Punt and Pass. What a great first episode, a season kickoff episode. All of our listeners on Twitter, at Punt and Pass, and on Instagram, they can chill out with asking when we're going to be back, because we're back, and we're with 680 The Fan, hosted on the Podcast Park, still going to be wherever you get your Punt and Pass podcasts, weekly, bi-weekly, twice a week, however you want to call it. We are in the fold, Mondays, Thursdays, and or Fridays. We'll hit you up twice a week, letting you know what's going on in the world of college football, specifically the SEC, of course, with a Georgia twist, and our friends at Prize Picks. They're the best. Promo code PUNT. Download the Prize Picks app, prizepicks.com. I'm getting down this weekend on some action. College football is back. You can get down on props at Prize Picks now. NFL, college football. I'm talking receiving yards, passing yards, rushing yards, receiving touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. It's awesome. Why wouldn't you do it? Use the promo code PUNT. Get a 100% deposit match on your first deposit up to $100. Well, Season 5, Aaron, Episode 1. We are in the fold. You can see this up on YouTube here in a little bit. We're looking super professional in the studio.
I just see my Punt and Pass hat.
Like, I got it coming. And head on over to puntandpass.com. Thanks for that. The merch store back up. We got a new order of Imperial hats coming in to get you looking right for game day throughout the fall. Anything on the way out, my man?
I'm just happy it's football time,
yeah,
baby.
Dude,
let's go.
God.
I'll be in the calling games this weekend.
Yes, fans and, in the stands.
And Maddox is a professional at giving us the touchdown sign.
Oh, is he really?
He is so good.
That means the field goal is good.
It means the touchdown is good.
He's going to be a specialist / golfer, if you're smart.
Golfer, tennis.
Preppy boy.
Super country club boy.
I love it. Awesome. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass. Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. Aaron is at AaronMurray11. Puntandpass.com. Shout out to Prize Picks. Shout out to 680 The Fan of the Podcast Park. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Don't forget to download the Southern Sports Today app. You can listen to this and every show on PodcastPark.com or wherever you get your podcast needs.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballou here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.